Blog Talk Radio.
Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever can.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. Get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, and work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the critics, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can't get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer, closer.
Hello, and how is everybody doing? This is your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP Locker Room Show, and we are pumped up and ready to go. The season is definitely in the thick of things as far as some of you guys knowing whether or not you're going to the playoffs. Some of you guys are fighting for the playoffs, and then others, you know, are having a tough season, but we got to stay high as individuals. We got to be the light for our team, the leaders of our team. And tonight is a show that is designed for young, aspiring college football players to get fruit, to gravitate towards something positive, and to get the knowledge they need to get to the next level. So we have a gentleman on the line tonight. I am definitely gracious for his time. This is somebody who is a very dear friend of mine. It's crazy how time flies, but I've known this gentleman since we were 17 years old as young recruits considering the University of Colorado. We both ended up at the University of Colorado in the same class and became brothers. An amazing high school football player that went on to be a great college player and is now a great defensive coordinator, up-and-coming college coach, and that is none other than Mr. Ty Gregorek. And I think we already have Coach Gregorek on the line. Can you hear us tonight, Ty?
I can. How you doing, T-Wood?
I'm doing great, buddy, and I really appreciate the time because I know how busy the season can get. So thank you for sharing your time tonight.
Oh, well, this is actually my least busy night of the week. We get out a little bit early on Thursday nights and get to spend some time with the fam, and I actually just came from swimming lessons with my 2-year-old son and my almost 4-year-old daughter. So no worries, man.
Oh, wow.
Good to hear your voice.
Oh, yeah. The things that the athletes don't get to see, you know, the coaches are regular human beings too. So I appreciate you stepping away from the family for a second. But I know time is short, so I want to get right into it. And we have a bunch of athletes, many that I've already talked to that are going to be listening tonight. And I actually see we already have a caller. So caller from the 210, we see you, but please hold tight so we can get the show started. So let's get right into it. You've been coaching for a while and obviously at a high level, the Division I level. When did you first realize, Ty, that you did want to make coaching a career?
Well, I really had no idea that I wanted to do this. You know, some guys grow up wanting to be a football coach and, you know, take after their old man or a grandpa or an uncle. And, you know, I really didn't grow up wanting to be, I wanted to be a football player. You know, and my senior year, so I was a true, you know, my true senior year, I didn't end up playing, as you remember. And I don't know, it was a fellow by the name of Tom McMahon, who I know you played for, who recruited me at Notre Dame and ended up coaching Colorado and coaching you under Coach Barnett, and he just randomly said to me one day, you know, would you ever give it a try, or if, you know, what would you think about giving it a shot? And so I just started reaching out to old coaches that recruited me and seeing if anybody would give me an opportunity to become a graduate assistant. And sure enough, it was Coach Neuheisel and Coach Houck and all those guys that had left Colorado and went to Washington after our sophomore year. That was 2000. Well, I graduated in the spring of 2001, and a couple of days after graduation, I drove up to Seattle and started becoming a GA. And two seasons later, Bobby Houck got the head job at Montana, and started at Montana in 2003, and basically been in the state of Montana now for the last 15 years. So made the switch over to Montana State. It'll be 2 years ago in December, and it's been awesome. I had a lot of fun. Love it up here.
I'm glad you really went through the timeline right there, because it actually is a layup for my next question. How important for the profession that you're in as a big-time college coach, how important is maintaining relationships with your peers?
I think it's really important. I think like anything in life, whether it's football or whatever, I mean, it's kind of timing and a little bit of who you know, and then obviously putting some hard work into it. And, you know, relationships in this business go a long way. And, you know, just, you know, some guys are good at staying in touch and some guys are not. And, you know, I think once you form a friendship, and I mean, just as an example, a guy we played against when we played Washington those couple times, his name's Dominic Gasty. He's a big offensive lineman for him. You know, we played against each other. And then, you know, when I became a GA in 2001, he also was GAing, and we became really good friends. And you know, two summers ago, I was his best man in his wedding down in Mexico. You know, so it's
wow.
It's one of those professions, you know, where you just spend so much dang time together. And you know, I've been very fortunate in that I haven't worked with a lot of dudes that haven't been a lot of fun to be around. You know, I mean, they've just been a lot of great dudes I've met over the last 17 years of doing this. And we just spend a lot of time together, and it's a lot of hours, and it's nice to be with dudes that, you know, you trust and respect and have a good time doing it with. So.
Well said right there. And as far as people that you've pulled from, whether it was somebody that you've coached with or somebody that coached you, who are a couple of coaches that have really helped you groom as a college coach?
Well, I've never worked with him, but I mean, I think it would start with Coach Brian Cabral, you know, coached me in college, and, you know, he just had such an impact on so many linebackers' lives over 20 plus years at Colorado. And,
definitely.
You know, he's just a very special person, and I think, you know, every fellow that played for him would tell you that. And then, you know, obviously the guy that brought me down there, you know, both guys actually that brought me down there, between Rick Neuheisel and Bobby Houck, both giving me an opportunity to play in the Big 12 and play college football, and then give me my first coaching opportunity at Washington. And then Bobby, you know, Bobby giving me my first full-time job at 24 years old at the University of Montana. You know, those guys, I mean, I owe them so much just in terms of getting into coaching and, you know, making me, I knew I loved football as a player. I just, like I said, I didn't grow up wanting to be a coach, and I actually can honestly say I love coaching more than I probably did playing. And so those guys helped me, you know, get into the profession, and I loved every minute since.
That's great right there. And as far as the move, you mentioned the move from the University of Montana to now you're the defensive coordinator at Montana State. What made the move to Montana State the right decision for you and your family at this time?
You know, it was hard, I'll be honest. You know, I was at Montana for 12 seasons, which is, in college football, like a lifetime almost. You know, it was just, you don't see a lot of coaches that are any one place for a dozen years, and then to leave for the rival school, you know, wasn't a real popular decision for a lot of people. And it was hard for me. I mean, I really, really loved my time at the University of Montana. It was an unbelievable experience. And, you know, my children were born there. I met my wife there. She was an assistant coach for the Grizz. But she was also a really good player over here at Montana State. And she's from this side of the state. And, you know, Jeff Choate, who's the head football coach here, we talked. We had played North Dakota State in the playoffs. This was two years ago. And he had just gotten the job, and I just texted him and said, congratulations. You know, we talked before and met before, but it's been years, actually. And he just said, hey, maybe we should visit sometime. And a few days later we did. And one of my kids is banging on the door. And Bozeman's up. Hold on, man. I'm talking to T. Wood. Well, it's just the telephone. Say hi, T. Wood.
Hi.
Hey, man. How's it going, buddy?
Terrence and I played football together in college. We played together at the bus. Yeah.
Are you guys being nice for daddy?
No, they just ran off. Yeah, they're being good. I think they're tired. So is their dad. anyway, it was, like I said, it was a really hard and probably not a very popular decision on one side of the state. And, you know, I really like what we're doing here. I mean, it's been fun. I worked for four head coaches at Montana. You know, so it was kind of fun to be part of a new staff and be on the front end of a staff and, you know, try to build something together and build it from the ground up. And not that we're, you know, building everything from the ground up. I mean, Montana State's had a lot of success. They've won three national championships here. But it just kind of needed, you know, I think it probably needed a little new blood and a little new swag. And it's been a process. There's no question about it. But it's been a fun process, and you know we're 4-2 in conference right now, and three games to go, and we got a ranked opponent this weekend in Kennesaw State out of Georgia, and it'll be our sixth ranked opponent that we played this season. You know, starting with Washington State in game one, and so it's been a challenging season, and it's been good though. You know, and you get into November as new used to say, and I don't think he came up with the term, but I'll never forget him saying it. The games they remember are played in November, you know, and a lot of us say that, and it's so true. So it'll be interesting the last few weeks.
Definitely. You know, for those that don't know, because we work with kids across the country, so we've got some kids down south, back east, and I'm familiar with the Big Sky and how great the competition is, but can you give our audience a little bit of your insight into the competition in the Big Sky?
So I think it's fantastic competition. I think, you know, every year, multiple times a year now, you see, you see FCS schools go beat FBS schools. And it's not a, you know, it used to be kind of, well, I mean, everybody remembers Appalachian State beat Michigan because it was such a, you know, like Michigan just doesn't lose at home to a team like Appalachian State. Well, Appalachian State, when the time they played Michigan, won three FCS national championships in a row, and they had some real dudes. And I think just the talent gap, there's still a difference. I mean, there's no question in terms of height, it's still an inch or two there. It's in terms of, you know, speed, there's a 10th here and a 10th there. You know, but I think that there is a lot of good football players at the FCS level. And I mean, just from my time at Montana, I can't even tell you how many teams, we put guys in the NFL. The highest paid corner, or the second highest paid corner in the NFL, and Trumaine Johnson played at Montana. You know, and coached him in Missoula, Montana. You know, so
wow.
I think there's a lot of. I mean, Carson Wentz went number two. I played that guy twice in the last 3 years. He, you know, just seriously. I mean, it's, you know, obviously you're going to see, you know, X amount of dudes from Alabama and X amount of dudes, you know, from Florida, Miami, you know, Florida State, and there's a bunch of Notre Dame dudes and SC, and that's the way it's always going to be. But if you look at every roster, you're going to see guys from all different levels, and, you know, franchises are just looking for good dudes that, you know, aren't going to embarrass the franchise, that are going to be hard workers, and you get a lot of those type of dudes out of the FCS level. So, it's a fun level to coach at. I mean, I'm not going to say that I don't want to, you know, coach at the next level. I would love to get that opportunity at some point. That, you know, working for our alma mater would be a dream situation. I love Colorado and I love that program. But, you know, if that happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I've been pretty dang fortunate to live in the state of Montana, you know, most of my adult life, and it's a great place. I married a Montana girl, and we have a lot of fun up here. Football is really important up here, and you probably wouldn't know that if you're not from here or don't have anything to do with Montana. But, you know, Montanans really, really love their football.
Talk to me a little bit about preparing for an offense, because you're a defensive coordinator now, and obviously you got a lot on your plate when you get ready for a game. But give me a little insight into your mind as far as what are some of the key things you look for when you're scouting an offense.
I think, you know, that it starts with personnel. You know, how can you attack different you know, strengths and weaknesses in particular. You know, you definitely look at tendencies and personnel and situations and down and distance. And, you know, offensive coordinators, I'm assuming, just like defensive coordinators, are very, you know, they got a lot of tendencies, you know, and if they do, you know, do certain things over an extended period of time, they, you know, a lot of those things hold true. There's tendency breakers, obviously, always, and the good ones are always good at mixing and matching. And I think like at any level, in any offense, really in any team, it all starts with the quarterback, you know. And you know, I got the Jets and the Buffalo Bill game on in the background, you know. And you look at the successful franchises and you look at the successful teams around all levels of college football, you know, they generally have a pretty good trigger man, and you know, they probably play pretty good defense, you know. And so it starts with the quarterback, and if you can attack the quarterback and figure out ways to disguise and pressure and confuse the quarterback, you know, you got a good chance. So, and it's always a group effort too. I mean, I love the defensive coaches that we've assembled here, and our head coach is an old defensive guy, and you know, we try to put together a plan and do what's best for the personnel that we got too. You know, that's the thing, and that's kind of been part of the process over the last almost 2 years of being here, is designing a defense and designing things that we know our kids can go execute at a high level. And we don't do a lot of things, I'm not gonna lie. We don't have 1,000 different defenses. We don't change the front and you know, add a bunch of new coverages every week. We try to do what we do and do it really well, and hopefully offensive coaches and offensive kids that play us the next week turn on the film and go, wow, those guys play really hard and really fast, and they got a, you know, relentless passion and chase for the football, and those are the things we're trying to get done. So,
sounds good, definitely. And you guys, it looks like the arrow's definitely pointing up. 2 wins over the last 2 weeks, and just a great chance to finish the season strong. We've got roughly about 5 minutes left with Coach Ty Gregorak. He's the defensive coordinator at Montana State University, and very appreciative of the time. Ty, talk to me a little bit about recruiting. Where does Montana like to focus its efforts as far as states with recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty regional in that we stay mostly out west, you know, west of Montana and then straight south of Montana. We get in the Midwest a little bit. We get into Minnesota and Iowa. We got some Iowa kids. We got some Minnesota kids. But most of our recruiting, I mean, first and foremost, comes out of Montana. You know, we have roughly 50 kids out of Montana, and then the rest of them are, you know, the Seattle area, Western Washington is huge for us. You know, Portland, all of California, Colorado. You know, we like to go where we have direct flights, you know, and, you know, it's not like we got a major international airport up here. You know, we have direct flights in Salt Lake City, Phoenix, Las Vegas, LA, Oakland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Denver, Atlanta, Dallas. And so a lot of those hubs are kind of where we go and get out in that area a little bit. So we've got some Floridians. We've got a couple few kids from Florida. Our offensive coordinator was a head high school coach down there for about 6-7 years, and so he's got some ties down there. But the bulk of our recruiting is out west here.
Gotcha. Now, for our audience, some of our young men might not have an offer, but they may have been close to an offer, and they're thinking about maybe a preferred walk-on opportunity. Can you describe for our audience what a preferred walk-on is to you?
Well, I think the preferred walk-on thing is a funny term because, you know, all a preferred walk-on means is that you're a walk-on who gets to report for fall camp with the rest of the team. Now, for me, and I would imagine that 9 out of 10 coaches would say the same, walk-on, full scholarship, half scholarship, book scholarship. Once you're on the team, you're treated like every other dude in the program. But yeah, you know, I'll put it to you this way. And you sent me that email today, you know, talking about some of the things you might talk to me about. And you and I have talked about this before, and I would tell any kid this that I'm recruiting. I would tell my own sons this: go where you're wanted, you know. And if a school is willing to invest in you in terms of scholarship money and puts in the time and effort and energy to get to know you and your family, that's where I would be pushing my boys to go. If a school, even if that meant, you know, that you had to go to an FCS school and not, you know, a preferred walk-on at an FBS school. Now, if it's your dream to play for that FBS school, then, you know, I'm not going to deter you. If my son grows up wanting to be a Colorado Buffalo because that's where his old man played, but they don't offer him a scholarship but offer him a preferred walk-on and, you know, his heart's set on that, I'm going to do everything in my power to, you know, allow for him to make that dream possible, you know. But I, as his dad, will also be saying, hey, listen, this school has shown you the love, so to speak, and is willing to invest in you in terms of scholarship money in your future. I think you should give it a legitimate look. And so, you know, I've been, you know, coaching at this level for a long time, and you know, we can recruit a little bit against some Mountain West schools, and we feel like we have a good brand up here. You know, we've got a great education, and you know, it's a cool place up here once you come up here and see it. And I think that's half the battle right there. I think kids and parents, they really just need to get up here and see the place and see that, you know, we play in front of 20,000, and it's not a small stadium, and, you know, people are passionate. There's, you know, tailgating that you can't, you know, just it goes forever. You know, it's a sea of tailgating, and it's a big thing up here, like I said. And so, you know, the preferred walk-on thing, I mean, you're treated like any other kid in the program, but if a school is willing to invest in you, I'd be saying, you know, take a hard look at that.
Great advice right there. And a couple last questions for Coach Gregorak. As far as when you get a freshman on campus and you're evaluating him, you got a couple weeks to get ready for your first game in training camp. What is it about a true freshman that makes you say, hey, I think this kid is ready to play right out of the gates?
Yeah, like I tell every true freshman, and I'm brutally honest with all of them, if it was up to me, I'd redshirt every one of them, but that's not always the way it is in terms of, you know, one, what your current depth is like. Two, you know, is the kid physically and mentally ready to do it? You know, if he's both, then awesome. If he's one or the other, you know, the best thing you can do, I mean, that's one of the greatest things about college football, T-Wood, as you know, having 5 years to play for and come in and,
yep,
you know, learn college, so to speak. You know, it's your first time away from your folks or, you know, the people that raised you. And, you know, that first year is hard. It's a transition. There's a lot going on between, you know, just academically, athletically, socially. There's a lot of stuff going on in your world that, you know, is just different. And so I think it's one of the great things about college football that you can redshirt. Or if you do come in and play as a freshman and, you know, football is such a volatile game. If you do get hurt, you still have the ability to have a year to come back. And so, we're playing a lot of true freshmen this year, and it's not necessarily because we want to. It's just there's a need at a lot of different positions, and we felt like we did a good job in recruiting, and there's some kids that are, you know, really helping this program right now that are true freshmen. But if you're recruiting well and things are going well in your program, you won't see a lot of true freshmen playing because, you know, you're recruiting well and you got good depth. But it is what it is. I mean, and you're talking to a guy that played as a true freshman, you know, and I got to tell you, when you're 18 years old, 19 years old, I probably felt like I was, you know, pretty hot stuff. And, you know, 20 plus years later now, if I could take it all back and had the option to redshirt, and I don't know, I'd probably tell you if I could do it all over, I'd redshirt, and I would have been a senior with you guys and won a Big 12 championship and played Oregon in a Fiesta Bowl, and all that would have been pretty cool. And shoot, I was already a GA at Washington when you guys were doing those things. So, but
wow,
you know, redshirt is not a bad thing. That's what I'm trying to say. You know,
I'm on the same page with you 100%, and believe me, we definitely could have used you that year as well.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page there. Last but not least, and I'll let you go. And once again, appreciate your time so much. We have obviously young men that we work with that are almost signed, sealed, delivered. They're going to even sign in December with the early signing period. But we do have some young men, some very talented young men that don't have that offer yet. What advice would you give to a high school senior right now, Ty, that doesn't have an offer but has some game?
I would say just keep working. And I mean, I remember, I don't remember if it was Bobby or Rick that said, if you can play, we'll find you. You know, and think about some of the dudes we played with in terms of, you know, Brady McDonald from Quinn, South Dakota, you know, some of the guys that, you know, that ended up playing Big 12 football. And I look at some of the guys on this team, and we have a lot of small-town Montana kids. You know, one of our best players, who will probably be one of our only all-conference players, played eight-man football, you know.
Wow.
Rashawn Salam played eight-man ball, the way I remember it, right? You know,
yep.
So if you can play, you'll be found. And if it's not happening right now, that doesn't mean that it's over. You know, just keep working. And, you know, with technology and the way things are, I mean, I remember my high school coach sending out VHSs that weren't internet, that was shot from, like, the moon, you know. And I'm going, how did any school ever get an eval on this film, you know, watching the film that we watched today that is close up and personal and intercut and so easily available. I mean, if I type in a name, I can watch it, you know?
Yep. No, that's great right there. And hopefully for all you young players listening, you heard it right there from Coach Gregorak. Just keep at it. Focus on your game and people will find you. So, hey, Coach Ty Gregorak, thank you so much for your time tonight. And then good luck this weekend with Kennesaw State.
Thanks, T-Wood. It's great to hear you, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. No problem. So, hey, there you guys have it. That is Coach Ty Gregorak, and we are out for tonight. That is somebody that I definitely love to bring into the BYGP locker room because he gets it. He understands what you guys are going through. He's a former high school All-American, actually Gatorade All-American Player of the Year in Washington when he was coming out of high school. Could have went to any college in the country. He chose CU and played as a true freshman, so he gets it. He understands the journey that you're on, and he's doing amazing things with that Montana State defense. So hopefully you guys really got some great advice out of tonight's show. If you guys didn't get to hear our last show, we actually had another college coach on, head coach Jason Burianic, who is now at NAIA Missouri Baptist. And that is another great school that is definitely looking for BYGP athletes. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show, and we will definitely be back next week. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.
closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mount. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted. But that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the critics, they committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far when you can't get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
My whole life's been a chase, it's a gift and a curse. Was on my way up to the top and slipped into reverse. And the same thing I thought killed me brought out the real me. That's real, see. You gotta find what you love and let it kill you. Just gotta live with the will like Uncle Phil do. Cause on the real, everybody go through times when the sun don't shine. Don't know when our time will come, but it will come in time. Cause yo, I said it first, ain't no telling where I'm headed. So this is for the people that was with me when I said it. And when I said it, I meant it, I swear I won't forget it. Told my family and my friends that I'm forever indebted.
Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
You start losing your mind when you're gone all the time, and you're always on the move, move. And you try to remind yourself it's gonna be fine, and you're hoping that it's true, true, true. You start losing your mind when you're gone all the time, and you're always on the move. And you try to remind yourself it's gonna be fun, and you're hoping that it's true. But I know we're getting closer.